So can we start with a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together to worship you. Thank you for your word. We pray that your word will speak to us this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So it's good to see you in this second week of the new year. So can I ask you a question? Have you ever write a poem before? Write a poem. Did anybody write a poem? Nobody write a poem before? Yeah. So how about you read a poem? Read, of course you did, right? So are poems logical? Are poems logical? No. Somebody said no. So my meaning of logical is, poems can describe things that are detached from our real life happenings, but they have their point of argument, right? If poems are not logical, then you cannot convey any messages to, the reader, right? Poems have their point of argument. So did you ever think that the book of Psalms is also poems, right? They have their points of argument. They have their points of argument. In before, I think that Psalms may be just for praise or for some kind of things that we use in worship. But recently, I learned that Psalms also have their points of arguments. So we believe the whole Bible is the Word of God. So these arguments are God's Word to us. It doesn't work? If it doesn't work, it's still okay. We don't need that PowerPoint. because I want us to open the Bible to Psalm 100. And no matter you are using a phone, a tablet, or a real Bible, today, we will flip through the Bible more. We will flip through the Bible more. There's a reason. Later on, you will know where's the reason. So, Psalm 100. So, where is the points of argument for Psalm 100? So, let us go. Of course, it said a psalm for giving thanks, right? Look at verse 3. No. Know that the Lord is God, right? No. And then, now verse 5, for the Lord is good, right? So these are the two points of argument for the psalmist. So let us take a closer look at verse 3. We know that the Lord is who? The Lord is God, right? God made who? God made us. God made us. Number one, God made us. And number two, we are His. We are His. His what? His people. Huh? Number three, we're His people. And then His people like what? Like sheep. Sheep of His pasture. See how the arguments are built up, right? For the Lord is God. And then in verse 5, it said, for the Lord is good. Good in what? We just sing already, the praising song, right? His two things, His love and His faithfulness. His love, how? Endures forever. And His faithfulness through all generations, right? There are two points of argument here, and then based on these two points, the psalmist can sing praise to God, can sing praise to God. That means the Lord, you see that capitals L-O-R-D? That means that is the God that made covenant with the Israelites. So the God who made covenant with us made us. He is good because he is loving and he is faithful. So this morning, we'll just look at verses 1 to 3. We'll go through verses 1 to 3 and reflect on how these verses remind us in this new year. So as a continuation of, remember what Pastor Stan preached last Sunday? New year what? New year determination, right? So as a continuation, is it new year determination? Yeah, see, you all forgot already. So as a continuation of the new year determination. See if it works. Okay, verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord. Look here, all the earth. So what strikes your eyes when you read these words? Why all the earth? All the earth means all of us here? Or just the mountain, the sea, the forest? So I don't know whether you did think about these questions. So maybe you said, I have read this psalm many times. Nothing special. But if I ask you, your answer must be yes. Do you love the word of God? Of course you say, yes, 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 we love the word of God. Okay, suppose you buy your favorite smartphone. Okay, what will you do with that? Just leave there? No, you will what? You will learn it, you will study it, and you will spend time with it. You will put it beside you and you go to sleep, right? Yeah, many people will do that. So, the smartphone, you learn it, study it, spend time with it. Okay, how about the Word of God? Did you learn it, study it, spend time with it? I think we should, right? We should. We should do the same too. We love the Bible. That's why this morning I like everyone to, no matter what kind of Bible, okay, we hold it. So back to the text. If we study the Word of God, God's Word, you see all the earth. You just go a little bit backwards in Psalm 98, maybe just next page in your Bible, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 98, 7 and 8. So we will see that, let the sea resound and all that is in it, the world and all who live in it. And then verse 8, let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Did you get it? The sea resound. The river, clap their hands. Do you remember the first time you go to Niagara Falls? Maybe when you were very, very young. You see the water running. Magnificent, powerful. And you also hear what? Hear the sound, right? The sound is like what? Roaring. So that's what the psalmist used. He humanized all these natural sceneries as if they are what? Praising God. Just like when we write God has ears, God has eye, God has arm. Of course not, right? So these are a kind of technique he used in writing. So how about if we turn to Psalm 19, verses 3. So I flip together with all of you to the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 3. So it reads like this. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. What is their voice talking about? If you look at verse 1 and 2, you will know that they are talking about heavens and skies. right? Niagara Falls, we can see, we can hear. They are praising God. And there are many things we cannot hear, we cannot see. They are also praising God. Did you read the news last week about the scientists looking for another planet like the Earth? Did anybody read that news? Yeah, one. So they try to look for something like the Earth, so that maybe, oh, we have trouble in the Earth, we can move there. So they spend lots of money, lots of research. You know the result? Of course, no. There is no planet like the Earth. You know the main reason? The main reason is very simple. They cannot find water in liquid form. Water in liquid form and another planet. See, every day we see water, all in liquid form, normal. But don't forget, God specially designed this Earth that we can live here. Specially designed. So it's all God's glory. God made all this. God made all this. All things, all the earth, all people, everything is singing praise to God. That's why we have to learn God's word, study God's word, spend time with God's word. Then you will discover more and more God's glory. Now let us go to verse 2. Verse 2 here said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his... Wow, I cannot see. Come before him with joyful songs. So there are many translations a bit different, right? But I like you to pay attention to the word serve. So when just now when we read, the scripture reading is translated as what? Worship. It's translated as worship. So serve and worship. So how come it's like that? So we look at one verse and then you will know. It's a flip Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 4. So the text is, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. You can see that to serve other gods is what? Worship other gods. Is worship other gods. So in fact, more versions translate this word as worship than serve. So whenever you think of serve, it means you do something, right? You do something. Like in the Sunday worship, you are the chairperson, you lead the song, you do the scripture reading. All these are work. So work is different from worship. So don't mix it up. If you can come early in the morning for the worship service, you can sit down there, you can have your quiet time, prepare your heart for worship. Instead of, if you have nothing to do, why you run busy around? So to be honest, I like the English service. I mean the time before the English service is quiet. It's quiet. When it is before the Chinese worship service, it's like very noisy. People running around. So it's, in fact, it's a blessing for us. So if you can come early for the worship, spend time here quietly before the Lord. And the word gladness. Gladness, in fact, is translated more as joy than gladness. More is joy than gladness. When we come here to worship, we should be filled with joy. We should be filled with joy. We should have our face would show that we have joy. So that when there are visitors coming in, he or she will know that we are worshiping God. We have the joy. And then people will know the name of God. They will glorify God. And then we come into his presence with singing. So come into his presence. Remember Jesus said, "For where two or three gather together in my name, there am I with them." So when we gather here, God is among us. God is among us, right? Is worship is not how you feel. How I am I filled with joy? Or how you feel? Are you filled with joy? Our ultimate goal of worship is what? It's for the pleasure of God. Our ultimate goal of worship is for the pleasure of God, so that God's name may be glorified. Then why we have to sing? Right? Why we have to sing? So, read the Bible again. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. So I found this passage as the first time when the congregation gathered together to sing publicly. So Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its riders he has hurled into the sea. See, it's just after all those Egyptian soldiers, they are buried in the sea, and then Moses sang this song. And look here, I will sing to the Lord, for he is what? Highly exalted. God's name is glorified in this miraculous act, so that people around that area know there's a God of the Israelites who can do this. See, we sing. We sing so that people can know that there's a God like this. And don't forget, the Bible also tells us to sing. To sing. So we go back to Psalm 33. 33 verse 3. Psalm 33 verse 3. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. See, they are talking human beings, right? Human beings can sing. Sing to him a new song. And then the last word is what? Shout for joy. Did you recall in Psalm 100? The verse 1 is also what? Shout for joy. Right? All the earth shout for joy. We come here, we shout for joy. We shout for joy. And you will ask me, how loud is that shout? How loud? So maybe read a passage. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5. How loud is the shout? 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 5. When the ark of the Lord's covenant came into the camp, all Israelites raised such a great shout that the ground shook. The Israelites are fighting against the Philistines here, and they think they bring in the ark, and then they will be victorious. That's how loud that shout should be. So when we come here in the worship, we sing loudly. I sing loudly doesn't mean that to show that, oh, I'm here. You sing loudly not for me. Don't laugh. You know that I sing loudly. Our singing is for God. Okay? Our singing is for God. I think today we sing louder than before. So that's good. So carry on. Sing louder. If you want me to come here to sing together with you, I can. I can help sing. Maybe include me in the praise team. Is sing with your loudest voice. Sing with the bottom of your heart that God is victorious. Right? God is victorious. Of course, the Israelites later get defeated. That's their problem. God is victorious. Okay? So verse 3. Maybe one last one. Psalm 40. We go back to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 3. Look here. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Who is that he? It's God, right? God. God put a new song in my mouth. See, when we come here, God put the song here. Then the praise is to our God. Remember I said when newcomers come in, they will what? Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So don't worry about you sing a new song. Maybe you teach us how to sing. Okay, then we can sing new songs to the Lord. Now we really we go to verse 3. So know that the Lord is, go back to Psalm 100. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, know. The word know is very interesting in the Hebrew language. It's very rich in meaning. We cannot translate in one English word. See here, it's said to be aware, to discover, to be acquainted with by seeing, hearing, and even touching, to turn your mind to. So complicated for the word know. So may I ask you, are all these, you said, I love God. I love God's word. Do you know God like this? To be aware, to discover, to be acquainted by, seeing, hearing, even touching, turn your mind to. But we have to pay attention, right? The seeing, hearing, and touching is beyond our physical senses. We don't strive to experience that just like really somebody touch. No. Don't try to get that. It's like in the spiritual senses, okay? If not, we will go into something which will be deviated from our belief. So have you turned your mind to God in your daily life? So if you learn God's word, study God's word, spend time with God's word, then you can what? Meditate God's word day and night. That will be stored here. It will be stored here. So lastly, let us look at his people. His people. So if I ask you why you are called God's people, how will you answer? Why you are called God's people? And you will say, oh, okay, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he paid for the penalty of my sin. He is my Lord. Of course, all these are right, correct. Just like when we turn to Romans 10, verse 9, Romans 10, verse 9. The text is like this. Then if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. See, sounds like we have the freedom, right? We have the freedom. If you confess with your mouth, something like that. But we cannot magnify these human choices too much. If you look at another passage, like John, flip forward, John chapter 15, 16. John chapter 15, verses 16. That is what Jesus was talking. Jesus is talking to the apostles. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We did not choose Jesus. God chose us. So, if you search the scripture, there will be Bibles like that. I have the freedom. God chose me. So, I have no answer for that. Okay? Don't ask me why I cannot understand. Ask Pastor Stan. So, the scripture will be like that intention. See, all intention like this. But put it simple. If you ask me, my simple answer could be, we are not God. We don't know what God is doing. We don't know. Actually, we don't know. So, it is very natural that we are separated from non-believers, right? We have nothing common with the non-believers. But you do not feel ashamed to tell others you are a Christian. Don't feel ashamed to tell others you are a Christian. Tell in your school you are a Christian. Tell in your work you are a Christian. Tell your neighbors you are a Christian. Because God's people glorify God's name. You and I get saved not just to wait for the assurance of eternal life. Of course, that is there. We will go there. We live here and now to glorify God's name. We live here and now to glorify God's name. Not just sit there waiting to go for the final assurance. We have to let non-believers know God's name. God's name. So since we are at John, flip to John 17, verse 1. John 17, verse 1. So after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." See the word glorify? Jesus came here to bear our sins on the cross so that God will be glorified. God will be glorified. So one last text that we speak a lot during Christmas time. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Because just past Christmas, we have been talking about that all the time. Chapter 2, verse 14. The angels are there, talking to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to them on whom his favor rests. See, this is for glory to God in the highest, the birth of Jesus. So all this come out to be the glory of God. So here are some practical ways that we can do. Number one, love God's word. Study it. Learn it. Spend time with it. Because you said you love God, you love God's word. The second, worship with joy. Sing with your loud voice, okay? Your loud voice may not be as loud as me, but you worship with joy because God is victorious. God is victorious. And number three, the last one, live your daily life as God's people. I remember Pastor Stan also mentioned that last Sunday. All these we learned from here cannot just stay inside. We have to live it. We have to live it out in our daily life so that people will know we are something different. We are something special. We are God's people. We are God's people. All these are so that people can know the name of God. God will be glorified. So here are just three practical ways that we can do. So as a continuation of our New Year determination. So let us close in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the abundance you have provided for us. We can study your word. We can pray. And we can worship. Pray that your Spirit will help us to live as God's people. Admit that we are Christians. Share the gospel. Let your name be known, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.